If you have your Bible, turn with me. I'm reading a portion of scripture found in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, in the 26th verse. Run now, I pray, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And the woman answered, it is well. Down in the valley of Shunem, there was a place of beautiful babbling brooks and beautiful green trees. It was an ideal spot for an ideal home. And just such a place as that, a Shunammite woman and her husband decided to make their home. The woman kept looking out the window and she saw the man of God, Elijah, going by the house every day. And the woman went to her husband and said, husband, I perceive that there's a man of God going by our house. Women always did have better judgment than men. I said women always did have better judgment than men. You women appreciate that sometimes when you get in an argument. She went to her husband and said, husband, I perceive there's a man of God going by our house. He said, let's build a room for him on the wall where he can stop and rest himself and refresh himself. And I'll make him some of them good apple pies and some of that fried chicken. So they build a room on the wall for the man of God. I'm not telling you a story. I'm telling you about what the Bible says. And so the man of God stopped to rest himself and refreshed himself with the Shunammite family. One day the Shunammite man took his little boy to the field while he was working for the little boy to play. Along about noon, the little boy said, oh, Daddy, my head, my head. That daddy said, hurry up and get that child to its mother. You know, daddies like to play with their children until they say, my head or my stomach. And then they'll say, hurry up and get that child to its mother. And the daddy said, hurry up and get that child to its mother. And they took the child home, and the Bible said the child stood on the mother's knee until noon, and the child died. And the woman took the child up, and she laid it on the man of God's bed. And she went down, and she said, saddle me up a donkey. I'm going to ride to the man of God. So they saddled her up a donkey, and she got on that old donkey and began to ride, and the man of God saw her coming. He said to his servant, said, you go out and meet that woman. And say, you say to the Shunammite woman, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? So the servant went running out to meet the woman, and he said, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And the woman cried, it is well. Now, I don't know why she cried, it is well with a baby laying at home dead. But I kind of believe in nobody. I believe she had enough confidence in the man of God that when he reached that house, that child would live again. And I believe she said it's well. The Bible said she ran and she fell at the man of God's feet. And the man of God went home with her and he went up to the room and he put his mouth against the child's mouth. And he put his nose against the child's nose and his forehead against the child's forehead. And he breathed in the child once and he breathed in the child twice and he breathed in the child the third time and that old heart began to beat him. The blood began to pump through the veins, and that child stood up in bed and began to rub its eyes. Brother, it wasn't long until it was out of bed and downstairs. You talk about a happy time in that home. That mother could say, it's well with me, it's well with my husband. And thank God my child has been raised from the dead, and now it's well with my child. Is it well with you tonight? Can you say it's well with me? It's well with my husband. It's well with my children. I don't have much confidence in people or limp for God for 20 years, and all of their children are lost and out in sin, running to the dances and the hell holes and the hockey tops. I feel like that mother and dad must have missed God somewhere. Are you listening to me? In Oklahoma City one night, a man came underneath the tent, leaned against the tent pole, and when the altar call was given, down the aisle he came and fell in the aisle and began to cry and weep his way through the gun. He was dressed in overalls and he had all the dirty work shirt. When the man finished praying through, I went down where he was. I said, "Brother, what caused you to come from outside? What was it in my message that I said that stirred your heart that brought you from outdoors into this tent, down to this altar?" He said, "Preacher, I hope you don't feel bad at me, but I never heard one single solitary word you preached." And I said, "Then why did you get right with God?" He said, "Over 16 years ago, I was getting ready to leave home here in Oklahoma City, and I was a young man, 17 years of age." He said, "I went in and packed my grip." He said, "I left the lid of it open to go get some other things, and while I was gone picking up some other clothes, my old mother, 77 years old, come in with a shaking hand, with a lead pencil, and wrote in the lid of my grip and said, 'Son, don't forget wherever you go, you got a mother praying for you.'" He said, "I came back in and didn't see that. I closed the grip, caught a train and went to Chicago, rented a hotel room, laid the grip on the bed and opened the grip and looked. The first thing that fell across my eyes was the words written, 'Son, don't forget wherever you go, mother's praying for you.'" He said, "I was so under conviction. And I hated to see my mother pray for me so bad." He said, "It made me so mad that I grabbed the pencil and I wrote underneath that and said, 'May God damn your prayers, mother.'" He said, "I came back to Oklahoma City 16 years ago." He said, "Mother died and passed on 9 years ago." He said, "Sitting on the front porch, rocking across the street from this old tent, with no thought of God, with no thought of ever serving God, these words began to ring in my ear, 'Son, don't forget wherever you go, mother's praying for you. Son, don't forget wherever you go, mother's praying for you.'" But a voice come and said, "But mother's dead." But the other voice said, "But mother's prayers still live on." He said, "I sit there and I could hardly stay in the chair." He said, "Finally," he said, "I thought I'd walk across the street and see what they were singing." He said, "I got across the street and you were singing, 'What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other path I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.'" He said, "Something began to pull me down that aisle." He said, "I got down at this altar and I went my way through the dark." He said, "Tonight," he said, "I've come to Jesus because I had a mother that prayed for me." Somebody said, "That mother didn't know it." Oh, yes, she did. I believe the angels of heaven knew it. I believe God knew it. I believe Jesus knew it. I believe Moses knew it. Elijah knew it. I believe all heavens rejoiced when that mother's prayers was answered and that boy came home to God. That mother could say, "It's well with me. It's well with my husband, and now, thank God, it's well with my child." I wonder, gambler that sits on the stool until the morning sun stares you in the face Can you say it's well with you? Woman that stands at the bar shoulder to shoulder with men, drinking beer and smoking cigarettes, can you say it's well with you? Are you listening to me? I'll keep on going. Hail Hurler! Fix your show going! Cancer! Can you look at those wee children and say, thank God it's well with my child? I've heard grown women stand up to their little children and say, honey, don't do like mother does, but do like mother says. Why, you idiot! You fool! You nitwit! You smoke brain! If you smoke cigarettes, that little child will smoke cigarettes. If you lie, it'll lie. If you guzzle beer, man, those children will guzzle beer. If you drink whiskey, they'll drink whiskey. If you want your children to live for God, you live for God and show them how to live for God, and then they'll live for God. If Edison had stood up to his little boy and said, son, beer and better, that boy knew what Edison was talking about, because Edison was an inventor. But if some of you old red-nosed, cigarette-sucking drunkards stand up to your boy and say, son, be a man, how do you know what a man look like to look at an old red-nosed thing like you with your face all gross and your eyes perked out of your head from drinking beer and whiskey? What do you know what a man look like? Don't you shout, you dry-hide, sophisticated outfits. Is it well with you? Is it well with you? Is it well with your children? I'll tell you, we've got to the place where most Pentecostal Christians don't even have family prayer anymore. Most families go to bed by looking at gangbusters. Or one man's family and two men's wives. Television has been a blessing. But brother, it's been one of the biggest curses to American homes of anything I know of. It's the truth. I said it's the truth. Whether you agree with me or not, I believe I'm preaching the gospel tonight. Keeping people out of the house of God? Sure it is. Somebody said it's an entertainment. Sure it's entertainment. Picture shows were entertainment. I used to go to one right after the other. Hallelujah. Somebody said it was a sin to have a television. No. No more sin is to have an organ. But it's what you look at and what you do with it that counts. Train a child in the way it should go. Get them around you. You get them around you when they're 4 and 5 years old. Talk to them about Jesus. Tell them about Daniel in the lion's den. They're 3 Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. When they get to be 17 and 18 years old, you won't have any trouble with them. I said, you won't have any trouble with them. Somebody said, I disagree with you. I disagree with you. The Bible said, train them in the way they should go. When they grow old, they will depart from it. Somebody said, mine did, then you didn't train them. I said, you didn't train them. I said, you didn't train them. Hallelujah. Do you really believe? believe I'm preaching the truth, say amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Woman jumped up in service one night and said, pray for my husband. He's hearing this little message. After service was over, some of the women went to that pastor and said, why didn't you sit that woman down? She was out of order. He said, who was I to sit her down? How did I know she was out of order? Maybe it was her husband's still message. Maybe never will hear another message. At 5 o'clock this evening, that old boy walked into the side of the dresser and pulled out the drawer. Reached in and got a 45 automatic and put it to his head and pulled the trigger. Blew his brains out. It was his funeral message. And I believe tonight that I'm preaching some people's funeral message. I said, I believe I'm preaching some people's funeral message. I believe I'm looking in the faces of some that's going to have 1955 cards on your tombstone. I said the other night in service that somebody in this service will die before we ever have another service. That somebody might be you. And a man walked right out to the prayer tent and knelt down on his knees and passed out to be with the Lord. Amen. I said amen. It pays you to be ready to go, friend. It pays to have it well with you and well with your children and well with your husband. We need to rebuild the family altars back in the home. Brother, we don't need a change of government. We need a change of mothers and fathers. It isn't juvenile delinquency that's wrecking the country. It's mothers and dads' delinquency that's wrecking the country. Come on, you might as well say amen. Just because you sharpen a knife doesn't mean you can cut a sunbeam in two. Just because you stop up your ears when the fire alarm sounds, that don't put out the fire. Just because you sit around and say the popular belief is that there is no hell, brother, don't turn hell into a refrigerator either. It's just as hot as it ever was, and just as real as it ever was. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Brother, the only way you'll ever miss hell is to get right with God and make peace with God and get the blood to wash away your sins. I heard some people say, oh, why worry? When you die, you'll only be smoke and vapor floating around through space. Let me tell you something. If the redeemed are going to have a body to sing and shout the praises of God, you're going to have a body to suffer throughout the countless ages in hell. The rich man looked up, brother, and he had eyes. He said, send Lazarus down to dip his finger in a cup of water and touch it to my lips, brother. He had lips. For he said, I am covered in these flames. What he said. I said, that's what he said. He had a body to suffer in hell with. Brother, if I'm going to have a body to shout for God with, you're going to have a body to suffer throughout the countless ages in hell without God. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, smart people don't believe there's a hell. That's an old phobia idea. Brother, that don't change things. My people in Noah's day didn't believe there was a flood coming, but it came anyhow. My people of Lot's day didn't believe that God would rain fire out of heaven, but brother, he rained it anyhow. I don't care if the smartest men in the capital tell me there was no hell, brother, it don't change hell. God's word says there's a hell, and I'll take God's word before I'll take any lying hypocrite's word. I know there's a hell. There's a lot of people who wouldn't be happy in heaven. They couldn't get drunk. They couldn't run around with somebody else's wife. They couldn't steal. They couldn't lie. They couldn't cheat in business. I know there's a hell. There's a lot of people, if they went to heaven, wouldn't be happy in heaven. I'd hate to think that my dear old gray-haired mother, 72 years old, had to share the same mansion with some of you old cigarette-sucking Jezebels. Amen. I'd hate to think that my little boy had to share the same mansion with some of you dirty story-telling deacons. Some of you wouldn't tell a dirty joke, but when one's told, you'll get closer than anybody else. And when it comes time to laugh, you'll laugh louder than anybody else. And you're just as big a hypocrite as the guy that told the dirty joke. And a lot of people, if they're up to heaven, it'd be hell if they're up. I asked no one forward. I said, are you a Christian? He said, oh, you can't scare me. I'm not afraid. Well, I said, you ain't brave. You're an idiot. I'm going to show you how crazy you are. You're just as crazy as if I was down here in a hotel. Save the statue. And the thing was on fire, and you was to stand down there and holler, Brother Cole, for God's sake, that hotel's on fire. Get out of it. And I'd stick my head out the window and say, oh, you can't scare me. I'm not afraid. Sit right down till I got burned up. You know what the newspapers would say? They said, a crazy preacher, they told him the hotel was on fire. He stuck his head out the window and said, you can't scare me, and sit down and got burned up. So they'll lock the fellow up in the asylum. That's what I think about you. For a dime, you'd go to Cresses and buy a Bible and read about hell. God warned you about hell. Jesus died to save you from hell. God himself cried, turn ye, for why will you die? Brother, if you go to hell tonight, you go over the crucified blood of Jesus Christ. You go over everybody's prayers that's ever prayed for you. If you go to hell tonight, you go there because you want to. Somebody said, how could God create a beautiful thing like me and then cast me into that awful hell? Hell wasn't made for you to begin with. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. It's God's trash pile. I said it's God's trash pile, where he's going to burn the trash of the universe. Amen. All you old cigarette-sucking, beer-guzzling, amen. Whiskey drinking, dirty storytelling, lying, cheating, are going to be cast into God's trash pile. You're nothing but trash. I said, you're nothing but trash. You make yourself trash. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. If you go there, you go there because you want to. You're going someplace that you don't need to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, if I build a bonfire out in my backyard and I was to say to a child, 16 years old, that had good common sense, now, son, I've got a bonfire burning out there. Don't get in it. If you do, you'll get burned. And the kid had good brains and good sense.
He'd go out there and look at the fire and say, oh, he don't know what he's talking about. Jump right in the middle of it and just burn up. You think I wouldn't love that boy? Certainly I'd love him. You think it wouldn't grieve me? Certainly it would grieve me. But what could I do? He was accountable for himself. He was old enough to see the fire. He knew the fire was there. He jumped in the fire. I did all in my power to warn him and save him from it. Amen. I said amen. That's what God's done. He's done all of his power to save you. He's told you about hell. He warned you about hell. He told you in words in the Bible about hell. He's put me in the city of Washington, D.C. to warn you not to go to hell. Then if you go to hell tonight, you go there because you want to. Sure, it'll grieve God. He's not any willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'll never forget, I read the story about the team and the woman and the little boy. Something scared the team and it began to run away with the wagon. There was a bridge washed out by a flood, and the team and the wagon and the little boy and the mother were all plunged into that muddy stream. The little boy tried to swim and save his mother because his mother couldn't swim, and the more he tried to save his mother, the more she fought him off in hysterics. And finally, the little boy all he could do was save himself. So he swam to shore, and his mother was drowned. They put his mother in a coffin and put her in the front of the church, and the little boy stood on the front seat and cried, Mama, Mama, I tried to save you, but you wouldn't let me. Mama, I tried to save you. Mama, Mama, I tried to save you, but you wouldn't let me. Let me tell you something tonight. Jesus is crying, child, child, I tried to save you, but you won't let me. I tried to wash away your sins, but you won't listen to me. Child, child, I tried to save you, but you won't let me. An old Scottish woman, 78 years old, said to her husband, standing by her bed, 82, said, it's getting dark. He said, yes, Jeanette. He knew it wasn't the end of another day, but the end of her life. She said, is the children all in? He said, yes, Jeanette. The last one died 15 years ago and went on to be with Jesus. She looked up at him and said, you'll soon be coming, won't you, honey? He said, yes, Jeanette. My eyes are growing weak. My steps are growing slow. It won't be long till I'll meet you over there. Then she smiled and looked up and said, thank God. We'll all be back together again. Isn't that a beautiful picture? All one on earth, all one in heaven. There's a woman that could say, it's well with me, it's well with my children, and it's well with my husband. Is it well with you tonight? I'm closing. I'll never forget, I was in a meeting in Pampa, Texas. Storm was blowing outside, and the lightning was flashing, the wind blowing. And I was studying, getting my message for that night, and God said, Jack, go look down Tyler Street. I want to show you something. And I walked out in the middle of Tyler Street and looked, and here come a cyclone. Right down the center of Tyler Street, but over the city. And I said, God, why is that cyclone blowing over the city? And he said, because they've had a revival. Because they've listened to me and they've sought me and they've been healed and they've been blessed and they've been saved. Because they've withstood the hand of judgment by seeking my face. And I went on and preached that night, and at the end of my message I heard sirens going all the time I was preaching. I come to the end of my message, I walked out on the porch and Saw ambulance after ambulance turn the corner and strike out down the highway. I went across to the service station and I said, "What's the matter?" The man said, "Didn't you hear?" He said, "Woodward and Glacier, Texas, and Woodward, Oklahoma, and Higgins, Texas, was just blown away by a cyclone." God said to me, "Jack, get in your car and go as fast as you can and tell them about me." I got in my car and took my wife with me, and down across barbed wire and electric wires that was laying on the pavement, we rushed through the rain and through the hail. Finally, we came to Glacier, and a man standing in the road with a red lantern in his hand flagged us down. And come around to the window of the car, and he said, "Are you a doctor?" And I said, "No." He said, "Are you a nurse?" I said, "No." He said, "What do you want here?" And I said, "I'm a preacher of the gospel. I've come to tell people about Jesus." Some man standing next to him said, "Well, you've come too late." He said, "Nobody's left but just me." And he said, "I've already made peace with God." He said, "See that little building over there, 12 by 12? And I looked at a little old cement building that was part blown away. He said, "I saw that storm coming, and I was in that Oldsmobile," and he pointed to a new Oldsmobile just wrapped around the telephone pole. He said, "I jumped out of that car and ran in that little cement building and got out on my hands and knees." He said, "I never knew how to pray, but," he said, "I learned in just a few seconds' time." He said, "I found Jesus." Then he looked at me, and by that time I was out of the car. He said, "If you don't know Jesus like I know him," he said, "if you're the kind of a preacher that I had that smoked cigars and played golf and told dirty stories," he said, "I want you to come and go with me over in that room, and I want you to get what I got." And I said, "Well, I've already got it." I said, "Jesus has already saved me. Fill me with his Holy Spirit." Then the man spoke up and said, "If I was you, I'd go on to Higgins, Texas. They're putting the wounded and the dead in the schoolhouse there." He said, "When you get there, you may find somebody to help." I put the car in gear and took off for Higgins. And when we pulled into Higgins, I pulled in right by the pool hall and the picture show. Listen to me. A ball of fire came rolling down the street, the only two places of sin in that town, and it was Sunday night, was the pool hall and the picture show. That ball of fire hit both of them and burned them to the ground. It burned everybody alive in them. Same thing happened in Waco. The places of sin, the gambling hall, was the one where everybody died in. Did you listen to me? I said, "Do you listen to me?" And I got out of the car, and a woman come running up to me and said, "Where is she? Where is she?" And I said, "Where's who?" And she said, "Miss Simpson said she lived right over there," and she pointed to just the house. Foundation, the house was gone. I said, "I don't know, I'm a stranger." And about that time, somebody come running up and said, "Quick, there's a woman pinned under this building over here. Come and help us lift it off of her." And I rushed back down there, and when I got there was a woman laying underneath the porch of a house. And the doctor was down over with those things in his ears listening to her heart. I had an old coal oil lantern. The doctor looked up, shook his head and said, "There's no use of picking the house up. She's gone." The woman was mumbling something, and I got down over her and put my ear down to her mouth. And here's what she was saying: "Oh God, please God, give me another chance. God, I never threw those stones if I'd have known it was you. God, stop, don't let me die. Go to hell, God." The last word she said was, "God, don't let me die and go to hell." And her eyes rolled back and sick. And the death rattle left her lungs because there was no breath left in her. I got up and staggered back out into the street and into the rain again, and there was a man laughing and crying at the same time. I thought maybe I could comfort him, and I put my arm around him and I said, "Fella, everything will be all right." He said, "I'm not crying for sadness." He said, "I'm crying and laughing for joy." And I said, "Joy in all this?" He said, "You wouldn't understand." I said, "Maybe I would. Tell me what it is." And he said, "I was in my house when the storm struck." He said, "The first thing, the roof went off." He said, "The next thing, I grabbed my wife and children and we run to the bathroom." He said, "The next thing that happened, the wall went out of the bathroom." He said, "The next thing I realized, my wife and my children were down on their knees praying." He said, "You won't believe this," but he said, "that wind stopped just like that." He said, "I grabbed my wife and children and we run to the storm cellar." And he said, "The minute we were in that storm cellar and the door was closed, the wind began to blow again." He said, "Down in that storm cellar, my little 12-year-old girl looked up at me and said, 'Daddy, we weren't really Christians, were we, Daddy?'" Said, "Daddy, if we was to have died, Daddy, we wouldn't have went to heaven, would we, Daddy?" Said, "Daddy, we'd never really, really know Jesus, have we, Daddy?" He said, "It was more than I could bear." He said, "I dropped on my knees with my family in that storm cellar." And he said, "I gave my heart to Jesus." He said, "Listen to me. My farm's gone. My crops are gone. My house is gone. I never had a dime worth of insurance. But," he said, "I wouldn't trade what I have in my soul tonight for all the farms and all the houses and all the lands in the world." Amen. Right there, me and him hugged each other in the rain and praised God together. I could go on and on, but I'm not going to. What are you going to do with Jesus? Bow your heads and close your eyes all over this table. While every head's bowed and every eye's closed, how many under this tent tonight would say, "Preacher, I'm not living where I ought to be living. I'm a church member, but I don't feel the joy that I once had. And I want God to refill me with His power and save my soul afresh and get me ready for anything that's liable to come. And I want you to pray for me. Just put your hand up if you want me to pray for you. Come on, put it up high. Put it up high. Scare me to death tonight not to have somebody pray for me if I really knew it was going to happen. Do you mean it? Put it up high if you mean it. Put that hand up high. If you really mean that, stand to your feet right where you are. I want to pray for you right there. Stand up if you really mean it. If you really want me to pray for you, that God will deliver you from every sin, from the lying habit, from the tobacco habit, from high temper, from everything that's in your heart and life, get to your feet right now. I'm going to pray for you. Yes, I see you. 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 Don't put it off. Who do you think you are, you dirty, miserable little creature, that you can tell God later on? Who do you think you are? You're lucky tonight you're even breathing. You ought to thank God for every breath you're grabbing right now. You ought to not be trying to tell God what you're going to do. You ought to be glad He's given you a chance to find Him. Stand up if you want me to pray for you. I don't care what church you belong to. If you're not living right, get to your feet. Come on. They're still getting up. They're still getting up. They're still getting up. Keep on standing. Bow your heads. I'm going to pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, set these people free from tobacco habits, lying habits, high temper. God, set them free from everything that's got them bound. God, that they might be healed in their bodies, that they might be set free. God, we've seen You open the eyes of the blind and cause the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. But, oh God, tonight there's so many souls that don't know You. Do me one more favor. The devil's going to tell you not to do this, but don't you listen to him. Everybody that's standing, come and meet me right down here in front for just a minute. I want to pray for you again. Come on. Come on. If you want to be in my prayer of deliverance, come and stand here. Come on. Don't a single one of you sit down. Come on. Come on. If you sit down, you may sit down in hell, sister. You may sit down in hell. I feel like I preached some people's funeral message tonight. I feel like they'll never hear another message. I feel like when the lights under this tent go out tonight, it may be the lights of somebody's soul. Come on. Come home.